Good afternoon, sweet listener. This is Katie and Kay, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You are tuning in right now to Express Yourself. It's just a couple minutes after 4 p.m. on this beautiful Friday afternoon. I'm really digging the, you know, couple big raindrops, sporadic five-minute vibes here and there before kind of cooling back off onto some sunshine. So it should be a fun Friday. To kick off today's show, I am joined in studio today by local directors here to talk about this year's Five Point Adventure Film Festival. Tyler Wilkinson-Ray, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And you've directed a film called Brotherhood of Skiing, right?
Yep.
Excellent. I can't wait to dive into that. And then Tom Zuccarino, you don't have a film showing this year, but that's because it's not that you don't have anything on the horizon. You're like in it right now. You're kind of in pre-production mode and all that good stuff.
I am, in fact, in pre-production on the next piece.
Very nice. Very nice. But, I mean, you're still involved this year. You're going to be a guest on a panel. Has that already happened or is that on the docket?
On the docket.
Excellent. When is that happening? Okay.
He's not sure.
I just learned that Tom and I have very similar calendar management styles. But you've got a panel coming up sometime in the 5 point chaos.
Look and it I re- up on the 5 point website.
There we go. Exactly. But you do have a film under your belt. You did do How We Grow. And that is, I'm really interested in learning a little bit about just kind of the process, because you told me off air, you're sort of newer, right? And I feel like that's always a relative term. But in the 5 point world and sphere, you feel like a newer filmmaker. But you've got How We Grow, and that is not open for public release yet because it's on an educational circuit.
Yeah, it's currently licensed educational distribution with Collective Eye Films.
So for the layman, what does that mean?
That means that we're letting them find homes for it in university libraries.
Very cool.
And so far, that number is over 200, so we're pretty proud of that.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nice. So what about How We Grow made it particularly viable for an education circuit?
You know, I think when we started the project, we set out to make this kind of romantic art film about young people farming and feeding us and changing the way we all eat. And it was a very much more complex story than that. And it read a little bit like a textbook. There was a lot of super great information. It ended up being 65 minutes long. And it was still very beautiful and a romantic story about kids. And so it just fits this, what does a professor do for an hour?
Wow. When you were, was that your first film?
That was my very first film.
That feels like an ambitious first film for me, but it sounds like there's just a lot of layers to that. When you were doing that, and as I imagine there's a lot of discovery that is involved in that as you learn more as well, you know, how do you balance the textbook, really dry, nitty gritty side of things, but still in this romantic story narrative arc that is engaging to any audience?
Well, How We Grow is a really interesting project because we saw, my partner and I, Haley Thompson, saw a story happening, and then I just started pressing the little red button, record. We didn't really know where it was going to go, and we decided to just let it tell its own story to us. And 2 years later, in 2,200 hours of footage, we were just overwhelmed with trying to dig the story out of it. So there wasn't too much balance of anything going on. It was like holding onto a tail of a dragon.
Nice. Well, and then, okay, so you're holding on to the tail of the dragon in terms of actual production. Now you've got this film. It sold out last year at Dandelion Days when you had some special showings at the Crystal. You know, it was a huge success at Five Point when it aired. But how do you navigate as that kind of first-time filmmaker? You've got your baby, and now you're trying to navigate getting viewership that's a little bit more mainstream. You're working this educational circuit. You know, what's next? I feel like how do you get your art to an audience in a broad perspective? That's an opaque process for a lot of people.
Yeah, and we've just chosen a really traditional model of getting seen. And like an old school model is even better word than traditional. Festival circuit, which we did okay on. We won Best of Festival at Colorado Environmental Film Fest. That was really exciting. Picked up here and there, half a dozen festivals, another 10 where people purchased to show it at their special event. That feels pretty good, but it wasn't a an amazing run. So we move into educational distribution, and whatever little scratch we make from the educational distribution, we will just hire a sales agent to put it on a streaming service. And that is a very standard staircase. Lots of people, Tyler probably knows a lot more about this than I do, but lots of people do it a lot different than that now. You can go straight to iTunes. There's lots of ways to get it out in front of people. But I thought, man, if we can get it all the way to a streaming service that people don't have to pay for it, it just comes with their monthly subscription, that's how we're going to get the most eyes on it. So that's what we went for. And keep your fingers crossed.
Consider fingers crossed. That's great. I want to kind of shift gears a little bit, but I want to use How We Grow as a transition to do it. Because, you know, like you said, it ended up being such a big story. You were able to produce 65 minutes of a final product out of that, which means, I don't even, what did you say, 22, how many hours of
2,200 hours.
I literally was going to say that, and I thought, no, Megan, you misheard that. So, you know, you've got this huge topic, and food is getting kind of political these days as well. And, you know, it's kind of difficult right now anyway to see your film. If you weren't the people who were lucky enough to get a seat at the Crystal, because it did sell out, right? And you don't have university library access right now. Can you speak a little bit about How We Grow in terms of the content, and how that plays into a broader change maker lens?
Yeah. When I was 25 years old, which is kind of the average age of our protagonists in that film, I was an idealist, and I would stand on a soapbox and I would wave my finger when I saw something going on that I didn't agree with. I would stand there and shout at soapbox and wave my finger, but I'm not quite so sure I was ever getting anything done. The protagonist in the film saw a problem, addressed a problem by getting to work on a solution, and that was super inspiring to me. And so they are change makers. Boom, right there.
Very cool. And in terms of change makers as a movement that's part of the broader 5-point brand right now, and Tyler, please chime into this. Can both of you speak a little bit about the genesis of putting a name to Changemaker?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, how did that come about? I mean, you have this 5-point film festival, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm relatively new to Carbondale. I've got about 3.5 years under my belt. But a lot of people, when they describe 5-point to me, in its earlier days, it was an extreme sports film festival, right? Mm-hmm. You got to watch a bunch of people go out and chase their dreams on the mountains. But it didn't necessarily have a broader, it was inspiring in that here's what the human body is capable of. But there wasn't a deeper political undertone that the way that I feel there is this year in particular and in the last couple of years. And I didn't hear Changemaker as part of 5-point until recently. Are you guys familiar with how that came about?
As far as how 5-point's evolved, I'm not sure. This is my first year actually coming to the festival.
Oh, great.
But I think, you know, as we make films about our, you know, the adventures of the sports, the outdoor sports that we like to do, eventually you start asking the bigger questions. And I think that naturally leads into, you know, whether it's, you know, being out in the mountains and feeling connection to the environment, or seeing, you know, the injustices that will happen, you know, over time and to the environment. I think there's a natural progression from adventure to whether it's conservation or social justice. And I think it's also natural as a filmmaker to go from like wanting to make a film about, you know, that might be visually engaging or, you know, capture the adventure to like, how do we like be stewards for these places and these sports that we care about?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a really fair answer to that. Can you talk a little bit about your own evolution in that regard? Because your film Brotherhood of Skiing, mm-hmm. You know, for listeners who can't see, I see a blonde white guy sitting in front of me, and you're talking about this really cool movement of getting the Black community on the slopes.
Yep. And one sort of side note there is I'm the representative of the film team that's here today, but it wasn't an entirely white guy film crew.
Perfect.
And we were pretty adamant about doing it that way. The question was about my own evolution as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I sort of sit outside that mold a little bit of going from adventure storytelling to more traditional social or environmental justice storytelling, in that I I sort of grew up watching, you know, those classic, the sort of TGR, Warren Miller, you know, those traditional ski films that people sort of crudely call ski porn. I pretty quickly got bored of going to those and watching them. And there's certainly nothing wrong with making those sort of ski films. But even from, I've never gone down that road other than watching them. And I sort of, as soon as I got into filmmaking, maybe it was that I knew I didn't have the equipment to keep up with these other people in the mountains. And when I was just out of college and trying to make films, but what always interests me was the stories that weren't being told, the community driven stories, the ones that sort of sat out the traditional narrative. And so from, you know, right when I got into making filmmaking, I was always trying to tell sort of the different story that people weren't thinking about. And, stories about, you know, inclusion and community and skiing, which the ski media generally just skips right over. And there's actually a pretty rich history, or there's a lot of material there that, people just aren't really looking at.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you're talking about the first Black Ski Summit that took place in 1973. There were more than 350 skiers involved in that.
Yep.
So I think it is a misnomer to say that, you know, skiing is just a rich white people sport. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's two, I mean, people always ask, like, what's the takeaway from the film?
Mm-hmm.
And the film sort of looks at the history of the National Brotherhood of Skiers, which they had their first unofficial summit, their first gathering. They came to Aspen in 73, and they brought clubs from all over the country. There's really only a couple clubs, but they decided they were going to have the summit, and if you wanted to come, you had to start a club. So that was how they got actually to form all these clubs over the country, that if you wanted to come, you couldn't just come as an individual. You had to go form a club in your hometown and then come as a club, even if it was just you. So they got, you know, 350 people here in Aspen, and the next year is when they started the actual National Brotherhood of Skiers. And so that film sort of follows the, you know, very briefly, it's about 10 minutes long, so it's just a short look at the history of that organization. And then today, sort of being a person of color and on the ski slopes. And there's sort of two takeaways we wanted people to get. One was, you know, as either person of color or, you know, a group that is not commonly seen on the ski slopes, and there's a lot of you know, visible characteristics that might keep you might notice that someone's not on a ski slope. There's also, you know, clearly economic issues that are a little bit less visible for why people don't ski. And we sort of wanted to get the message out there that, you know, as they say in the film, you know, Black people do ski, and they just have found a different way to get out. And then I think there's another sort of more nuanced message there when you look at the sort of history of when they first found the organization. A lot of the people we interviewed who were there at the founding talked about not feeling safe on the mountain, and how the National Guard was put on standby during their first gathering. And so there's sort of this, well, what we don't want people to, there's a sort of a misnomer out there that Black people don't ski, and it's just because they've just never done it, or they just like aren't interested in it. But there's really more of a historically rooted reason of not feeling safe skiing. And so for us to, you know, as a white guy say, oh, you know, they just should come skiing, they should come out, you know, do what I do, it's like, no, there's a reason why. And it's because they didn't feel safe, and then the next generation didn't see their parents out skiing, and so then mm-hmm. they think so there's this reinforcement there that happens, and we sort of wanted to get that story across as
Thanks.
Well
I want to circle back to something that you said earlier that was just sort of a side note, but I don't think it's a side note at all. I think it's critical. And that was when you said, you know, yeah, you're the spokesperson for this entire team. And that team was not an all-white team, mm-hmm. right? And this idea of, you know, people, a lot of times, you know, people tell me, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I am that white guy and I want to be an ally and I don't know how. And, you know, they want to be a platform and they want to advocate for. And a lot of people I speak to about what does being an ally really mean, it's you pass the mic, you offer the platform. Mm-hmm. So being able to say, yes, we're going to tell this history, but we're not going to be the only ones that do it. You know, that it sounds like you said that was a very, very active decision. There was an intention in that. Can you speak a little bit about what inclusivity really, like walking that walk was for you and the film team in that?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly, you know, being able to tell this story, I think, was important and powerful and on, you know, sort of at the core of, you know, the conversation today. But I think then you have to look at, like, who's telling it, who's making the creative decisions, you know, who's, you know, inevitably getting paid by the film. And so we felt pretty strong that when we first started this project that we needed to bring in some other people to help us on this film who weren't just, you know, white guys. And we did that. And I'm just happy to be the one that was able to make it here today. But yeah, I feel like it's really important. It's also very important to telling that story. I don't think we were able to have the access in terms of interviews and two people in the MBS if it had just been myself sitting there interviewing them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think particularly it was, you know, it's a challenge if you're making a ski film to find diverse crew.
Yes.
That's not very common. And it's actually something that we have a, you know, a little bit of a hard time doing, but that's partially because people aren't doing it. Whereas we feel, you know, if we can bring in, you know, not your typical filmmaker, have them, you know, even play a smaller role on this project, then the next time a project comes along, they can take a bigger role. And that's how you actually have, because the outdoor, if we go back to sort of that more core original 5-point adventure filmmaking community, it's very white dominated and very male dominated. And one of the things we noticed pretty early on when we were doing these shoots is we'd go on location and that on-camera talent would be, particularly now, you know, in 2019, be a pretty fair gender balance. Mm-hmm. And then you look behind the cameras at the crew and it was all white guys. That's something we've been trying to just increase diversity and gender diversity on our crews. But yeah, it's not something that is like very common, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. No. And, you know, like you said to your earlier point, it earns you credibility. It earns you street cred to be able to say, yeah, no, we're not just preaching this and then quietly profiting off of the narrative.
Sure.
So kudos to you. Kudos Thanks. To you. When does that air?
We're showing tomorrow night.
Great.
The 7 to 10 slot.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. I have tickets on Saturday.
Awesome.
Cool. Kind of just generally, we've just got a couple minutes here left, but can both of you kind of just chime in a little bit about what filmmaking and you know, putting yourself out there and you know, kind of doing a creative risk, what that really means for both of you personally and professionally?
I love a challenge. I'm terrified all the time. I got a pool of sweat on a table right here. That's from Jeff Bridges' story earlier in the day. But I want to change the world, and it seems like visual storytelling is a really good way to do that. I was a still photographer and journalist for a long time, and I always wanted the pieces to keep rolling. And mm-hmm. So, I don't know, one day I walked up to the cliff and jumped in the water. And yeah. It's terrifying, but it's it's super satisfying to get after it.
Absolutely. And you are already getting after it again. Are you feeling comfortable to give a teaser about what your next project is?
Yeah. I'm going to say one little thing too, is that I'm a male filmmaker, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is about a very powerful woman. And when she let her pieces collide so that she could change the world, become a change maker. And I've grappled with that a bunch. It's like, it's too bad I'm not a woman, because then this would be a real, you know, woman power centric thing. I think it's okay mm-hmm. that I'm a male filmmaker and mm-hmm. I'm going to go after this.
Yeah.
I still think that that's cool.
Well, the story is still important to be told.
Yeah. And so it's a piece about the very moment that an individual decides to step out of their safe zone and step away from their safe zone and step into uncertainty in order to make change.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And that's a little obtuse because I'm currently waiting on a script writer
sure.
to work with the protagonist. And we're really lucky. Tracy Ross just come on board to help us with that.
Nice.
Because it's going to be a short film that will have beautiful mountain bike imagery with a monologue.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So you're a male filmmaker, but you're walking the walk too. You found a female scriptwriter to come on the team.
I just found an awesome story.
Yeah.
To me, it wasn't, I need a female
right.
or I'm a male, but I have since grappled with like, well,
right.
could a female do a better job telling this story?
No, and I think just having the thought is important. You don't want to succumb to tokenism, right? You still want to make sure that the right steward of the story is in place. But I just think having the consciousness to think about it, I think is very cool, and I commend both you gentlemen for that. Tyler, do you have any parting thoughts about filmmaking and how it's impacted your trajectory in life?
Well, I think as far as like jumping in and taking that risk, I often think that the people we're making films about are taking a much bigger risk than I am, because they're on camera. You know, if I do a bad job, then it's just no one ever sees it. You know, if I make a crappy film and I send it to Five Point and they don't accept it, then they obviously accept or don't get to screen a lot of really good films as well. So I often feel like I get to hide behind the camera a little bit. And that the people on screen are taking the bigger risk. But how it's impacted my life, I mean, this is the dream job. I think that's the risk, is like taking the alternative path and obviously a lot of financial insecurity of knowing where the next project's coming from. That's the actual risk that keeps me up at night. But no, it's a great profession and I love it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you both so much. Tyler Wilkinson Ray, Brotherhood of Skiing, airing tomorrow around 7 p.m. time slot. Tom Zuccarino, stoked about what is happening with How We Grow. Really excited about your next venture. Thank you both so much for joining. And keep on making great art and telling great stories.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.